I think this election is going to be different than any in the past. It certainly is not going to be as dynamic or as controversial as the one in 2005, simply because the opposition does not have the same ability to carry out its campaign as it did in 2005. But having said that, I think it will be a somewhat more interesting election than what you saw, for example, in 1995 or in 2000. I have the impression that there is more opposition activity in the case of this election than there was back in 95 or 2000. And particularly, there seems to be a number of races in Tigray region that will test the ability of the Tigrayan People's Liberation Movement, the Prime Minister's party, to hold all the seats that it once held there. And being in Washington, it's awfully hard to know whether the seriousness of these contests is as great as I'm led to believe, but it certainly appears as though there is some real electioneering going on in that region.
Well, Ambassador Shin, for somebody who knows the area very well, casting your mind back, would you say that the system of governance in Ethiopia is democratic?
Well, if you're defining democratic as Western liberal democracy, then clearly it's not. And it would be ridiculous to try to cast it in that light if you're using that definition. I think what you have to do is look at the span of history in Ethiopia, where for 2,000 years or more, you have never had what even approaches Western liberal democracy. I think that the current government has made some very tentative steps in that direction, although whenever those steps seem to take it too far, it then cracks down, as it did in 2005. But nevertheless, they are steps in that direction. But no, you cannot call it democratic under the rubric of Western liberal democracy. And for that matter, I'm not suggesting that the precise template of Western liberal democracy should be imposed on any country in the developing world.
Different groups, including opposition and rights organizations, have criticized the current administration in Ethiopia as having dictatorial tendencies. Do you see it as such?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. I think you could argue that every government that has ever existed in the history of Ethiopia has exhibited elements of dictatorial tendencies without exception. And if you use that wide-ranging definition, then the answer to the question would be yes. On the other hand, I think it's only fair to compare the current government with all past Ethiopian governments, and again, put it in the context of long-term historical trends in Ethiopia, where autocratic rule has been the rule, not the exception.
Ambassador Shin, some people have also questioned Ethiopia's style of governance, saying that it is the type of leadership that has had some quite frosty relationship with some neighbors, including Eritrea. What is your take?
I think in the case of Eritrea particularly, you need to go back to 1998 when the serious problem broke out between the two countries. I think there were indications of a downward movement in the relationship even prior to the border problem in May of 98. But to suggest that the governance style in Addis Ababa is the cause of the frosty relations with Eritrea, I think is not fair. I think there are many reasons for the frosty relations between Ethiopia and Eritrea, and you conceivably could argue that both governments in Eritrea and Ethiopia have elements of autocratic rule to them, and that may contribute to the problem, but I don't think that's the main reason for the frosty relations at all. I think there are a whole series of economic and political issues that underlie the problems between the two governments and the nature of the rulers in both Ethiopia and Eritrea may simply contribute to the issue, but it's not really the cause of it.
Would you say that the parliamentary system of governance in Ethiopia has been effective in their circumstances?
I think the parliamentary system in Ethiopia has made some progress, and I think it's important to give credit where credit is due. But at the same time, it has a long ways to go. A democratic parliament is a very new concept for Ethiopia. It only postdates the 1991 change of government, and it takes time for the concept to take root and for opposition parties who do win seats in the parliament to even figure out how to use their positions. For example, I think some of the opposition candidates who won in 2005 made a mistake by not taking up their seats in parliament. I think had they done so, they could have exhibited more influence on governance than those persons who did take their seats in smaller numbers. So there's a real learning process going on in terms of parliament. One, I would give the government credit for establishing a parliament. It has to allow the opposition, particularly, more ability to function within parliament. And then it's up to the opposition members to take their seats when they're elected, not to boycott the parliament.
What do you see as the prospect of this particular system of governance in Ethiopia?
Well, I would like to see it advance faster than it has towards some of the general principles of Western liberal democracy. I think it is slowly making progress, but in my view, it could be more rapid, and I think it would be in the interest, certainly, of the Ethiopian people if it were more rapid. And quite frankly, it might even be in the interest of the EPRDF if it were a more rapid advancement. I think it would encourage elements in Ethiopia to take the government more seriously and to actually give it more respect. And the EPRDF might find that it still does quite well with the electorate, even if it opened the system up. And that's where I would like to see it go. But because of this 2,000 years of history of relatively autocratic governance in Ethiopia, it's just been moving very, very slowly. And for those of us on the outside who wish Ethiopia and Ethiopians well, it sometimes is frustrating.
Opposition groups say that the reason why they did not take up their seats in parliament was that the EPRDF seemed to be too powerful. The prime minister has too much power and dictates the pace most of the time. So it becomes increasingly difficult for them to participate in a democracy where their views are not pretty much appreciated. What do you make of it?
I think that is an absolutely ridiculous argument. I think that they made an enormous mistake by not taking their seats. I grant them that it's not easy to function as part of the opposition in the current system existing in Ethiopia. But that is no excuse not to try. And if your numbers are greater, that over time is going to give you more influence. And even though it may not be as much influence as you would like to have, or even as much as you deserve, to boycott is, I think, the absolute worst decision you can make.
So, Ambassador Shin, what would be your message to Ethiopians who will be listening to you ahead of the election?
Well, to the extent that this election is open, and since I'm not in Ethiopia, it's very hard for me to judge, sitting here in Washington, how open it's going to be. But to the extent that it's open at all, I would urge that all Ethiopians should go out and make an effort to vote and participate, and to the EPRDF to keep the process as welcoming as possible for the opposition, to allow them to participate to the maximum extent. And I appreciate that would not be the degree to which I would like to see it, but nevertheless, do the maximum in terms of permitting the opposition to function in the country, and then let the voters decide what happens. And once there are opposition members elected to parliament, they should take their seats, whether they are a minority, as I assume they will be, or not. This is all part of a process, and it's important to encourage the process, not to discourage it either. by on the opposition side or on the EPRDF side?